Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the first full week of the Biden administration. It's been a Jim Dandy here on the Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up. We'll go over some of the great things that give enormous popular support. His approval rating must just be skyrocketing.
Here's your handy dandy guide. Everything that he said he was not going to do because everyone would hate it during the campaign, he's doing.
Yeah.
So just think, if it's something you hated and he said, no, I would never do that, well, he's doing it.
Yes. I mean, so you must worry about
climate change.
You know, we won't go over all of those, but we will go. I'll go over those. I've got about 10 of them. It's hard to keep up because they're just so wonderful.
Well, he's doing it every day. He's getting more than all the other presidents.
Yeah, he's on 30 executive actions, orders and memorandum. The most before was 5. So this guy is going and he's helping us and he's hit the ground running to help America.
Well, I'll let you know the show is sponsored by AmericasCitizenPress.com, a great conservative voice website, one we check every day, and Cenogenics with Dr. Julie McCallan. I'm helping Chuck keep health things in order and weight loss. It's just a great program. At 3:30, we're going to be talking to Patrick Wood. He's one of the founders of an organization called Citizens for Free Speech. Great need for that right now. And also Dave Williams. When you get him on the phone, Representative Dave Williams, some interesting news coming out about Dave Williams. And then also we're going to kind of do a little explainer. We've been doing some research on the whole GameStop thing. I want to let you know, Chuck.
In case you're invested.
Yeah, well, if you haven't yet. Chuck, I don't know if we cash in on this at all, but we, unbeknownst to you, have actually been GameStop Power Up Reward members for some time now. Years and years.
So we're
going to explain that. I think, though, it's kind of fun. I mean, if you haven't been paying attention to it, it is like one for the little guys. But we have now future gubernatorial candidate,
we got Dave Williams, who is one of our favorite people, a real conservative in a house that does have a majority of non-real conservatives. And we saw the other day this thing called Williams for Governor, and we saw Dave, you didn't tell us.
You said you would announce on our show. Hey, Dave, thank you for your time. Appreciate it today.
Hey, thanks for having me. So you guys saw that too, huh?
Yeah, I saw. The way I understand it, somebody has reserved or paid for, I'm not sure totally how it works, but the domain name, so the website.
The
domain name for Dave Williams for Governor. So Dave, hey, we think hooray, good for you. But I haven't seen any other announcements coming up. What's the deal, or do you know even?
Well, let me ask them. You guys think I could win the nomination?
You could win the nomination. I think you could. I don't think the way that the voting system is crooked in the state that you can, any Republican can win any state.
Well, if you started printing up ballots now, Dave.
Unless you can get, if you can get your Dominion voting people, dialed in on some slight alterations during the night.
Maybe there's a bunch of illegal immigrants coming across the border. You could hire a bunch of people cheap through the Chamber of Commerce to start registering and filling them out. No, I mean, for real, though, because I saw that and I'm like, whoa, that's interesting big news. Did you take out that domain or do you know who did?
Well, I can tell you that I don't own any domains, but I'm 100% committed to not only representing House 15, but especially holding accountable, Democrats up at the State House. And wherever that takes me, it takes me. So we'll see. But
you'd make a great candidate.
To be honest, I mean, all joking aside, I think you make a wonderful candidate. And so in case...
Just as long as Bob Beaupre doesn't run again, because we'd like
I would tell you it would be an entertaining campaign. I guarantee you that we wouldn't see a repeat from 2018. We that Walker Stapleton campaign left much much to much to be desired.
Well, starting with the candidate, I mean, you know, and I guess now Walker Stapleton's wife has unaffiliated with the Republican Party. Darn.
Oh,
you know, maybe, so yeah. I think though you are, and again, in all seriousness, the kind of candidate, and I suspect a lot of our listeners would agree with that, that if you were to decide, you know what, I want to put myself through that pain, because I think it would be painful. I think it would be a brutal campaign. I got to tell you, we would throw our support 100% in behind you. I think you would be great for Colorado, bring some common sense back, and maybe, I don't know, call me crazy, but even some basic fairness and that concept of actually listening to your constituents, you know, minor democratic ideas like that.
Maybe get rid of the emergency decree still going with the governor.
Well, you know, I tell you what, if I were to run and win, or someone else like me were to run and win, we would certainly make sure that we would put the establishment, you know, in its place, right? They've been selling us out for years in Colorado.
Yes,
they're getting ripped off. There's no other way to put it. I mean, if I were to run and win, you know, Colorado would win again. You know, the likes of which, you know, you've never seen, to borrow a quote. you know, we'd open up the economy. We'd let people, you know, get out back to work, to restaurants. We'd open up oil and gas. You know, people could just win again and live their normal lives. Kids would go back to school, you know.
That'd be wonderful.
What a concept. But this governor,
amazing.
You know, this governor is corrupt, though. I mean, we have open corruption in the state of Colorado. And if someone like me were to run and win, we would end that immediately. We'd open up government to be totally honest and transparent. And we'd especially stop ignoring, you know, constituencies like rural Colorado, like this governor does. I mean, it's really Denver and Boulder that control the state right now. And that's unfair to the rest of us. I mean, the lie that, you know, the governor is peddling, you know, Colorado for all. That's a lie from the pit of hell, and he should be called out on it. So I'll tell you this: I'm always open to discussions about the future of the state with anyone who wants to seriously have those discussions. But whoever runs and wins, I think, and this is to Chuck's point, you know, we have to make sure that our election systems are, you know, fair and honest and transparent. I don't know if we're so we got to get a handle on that. But especially whoever runs, they need to be a fighter. You know, they need to take the gloves off and tell the truth. And not let the governor and the media get away.
Lawyers lined up, so when in places like in Adams County, when they throw out the poll watchers,
they can go to court. Well, you know, that's the thing, you know, and I hope it is you or very much somebody like you that runs against Polis, because I think there's no doubt he would run again. One of the things we have to do is be just so smart, and we need to start being smart like now. Mm-hmm. Too often, I think, Republicans wait until like the August before the election to start paying attention to things. And we've seen what that cost us, right? And like you said, let's not send out mailers. Let's have good ideas. Let's have ground games.
Let's have an election system that's fair and honest. I mean, that maybe seem too much these days, both nationally and locally, but it's really surprising how the Democrats have altered the election system to make it almost a cinch they win statewide elections. And it's disgusting. And no lawsuits have been brought against it.
Because it's Trump's fault, Chuck. You know, and Dave, I want to give you credit for this too. You tried when Donald Trump was in town. You tried to kind of talk to them about the kind of things that are going on in Colorado. And what happens? The establishment Republicans shut you down. It's like, again, the establishment Republicans, people need to understand this. They are no different than the Democrats.
They are Democrats.
They're like Mitt Romney. They don't work for you. They don't care about you. All they care about are their big money donors. And Dave, it is.
I didn't care about them, you know, because big money donors are not contributing to them anymore.
Well, I think it's absolutely correct. The establishment does not care about any of us, and it's the reason why Republicans keep losing. You know, I just want to put it out there. You know, the conventional wisdom for a guy like me coming from the political establishment would be, don't run. Right? You shouldn't run. You can't win. Well, I think Lauren Boebert proved, you know, that's not the order of the day anymore. So we need we need people like Lauren Boebert to stand up and say, you know what? The barbarians are at the gates. Rome is burning. We need to fix it. We need to fight it right now. And so, I'm certainly open to newcomers with new ideas running for governor right now. Tell me, who's on our bench right now? Who's actually capable of, you know, taking the
Heidi Goodall. Heidi Goodall.
Goodall.
It doesn't matter.
Well, yeah.
Heidi Goodall. There you go. No, there's Jay, excitement. She'll take them on and she'll
you know, move. You, Patrick Neville, the grassroots, some of the usual suspects, you know, I mean, Tom Tancredo, they beat him to death. So, the last time around, it looked like, you know, probably the citizens thought they would vote for him. And they're like, no, we can't remember.
I think Greg Lopez, who's running, is a great one, but he doesn't have the backing or the money or anything else. And I think you could attract it. You could attract it. So.
And you've got the website.
And you got the website. You got a domain anyway. Somebody's got it.
Well, all of our people are saying they'd vote for you.
Yeah. Everybody's going saying, let's do it.
Let me ask you one other question before I let you go. I was reading this today on the Colorado Sun. Actually had kind of an interesting article. So in case folks have forgotten, a while ago, we voted for amendments Y and Z that set up the redistricting, because the census is done this year and it looks like Colorado should be getting a new congressional district, not to mention we got to refigure all the other things too. Mm-hmm. But then it indicated that the census is running behind. Joe Biden isn't likely to fix that. And so it may actually go to legislative state after all.
There you go.
Are they just going to skip it?
Yeah, don't bother. Just
make it Denver.
Have Polis do it, or other guys over the Supreme Court. Oh, they did it last time.
Emergency order.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
You know, there's a lot going on with that. Before they can do the work, they still got to wait for the reports out of Washington, the census reports. They still have to narrow down the members of the commission. I think the end of February, they're going to narrow it down to the last 50 individuals, and then they'll pick from that. But I think you're touching on something that, you know, kind of happens a lot, right? You know, we come up with a way to draw these boundaries, and then somehow the courts get involved and they end up having the final say. I hope it doesn't work out that way, but it very well could. And I just want to say this one more thing. Who's ever seriously considering running for governor, whether it's, you know, someone like me or someone else, you really need to run on, I think, three things. And that's removing the corruption, reforming the system, and restoring balance back to Colorado. If you can't do that, don't bother running, because people are not going to believe in you. I mean, there is massive corruption. There is systematic failures within government, and we're ruled by one party right now. And so if you're not willing to call a spade and speak truth to power, don't bother running.
Well, the only thing you'll have against you is
that you're going to do all those things.
Well, whoever the establishment decides to run, was Heidi Goodall or maybe Kevin Priola or somebody else who can win, the Democrats will give them all the money in the world to get through the primary, and then they'll, you know, destroy them once the primary is over. They're the biggest contributors to Republican primaries.
I certainly don't want to knock anyone that's currently running right now, especially Greg. I know he's putting in the good work right now, but people like me, I mean, I have been approached, you know, not just for governor, but for other higher offices.
Great.
Because they're looking for a conservative alternative to the playing field they're seeing right now. So, you know, that's not to say that I'm not going to disparage anyone at the moment, but I got to tell you, you know, there's a problem in the Republican Party right now, and it's a lack of leadership. So give the people what they want. Give them leadership.
Well, Dave, stay in touch then. You'll have to. I'll text you every other day saying, is it yet?
New domain name coming up.
So thank you for your time. Again, you know, you got
maybe
our
you get David Williams for governor.
No. Somebody who's trying to block you there. Hey, thank you for coming on. Thank you for we think you'd be great. And if you didn't get the domain, maybe you should. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks again, guys.
Okay,
all right, thank
take
you.
Care.
Representative Dave Williams there. He would be great. I think somebody like Greg Lopez is good too. I don't want to disparage anybody, but that is the kind of thing we need. Yes. And Greg Lopez has been out there everywhere. You know, and what a concept. Maybe we'd actually have a choice between two good, right? Two good candidates.
No, and no, as that's opposed not gonna happen. To, they're going to have their Kevin Perillo, Heidi Goodall.
Why don't we move on, though? Let's move on to the national stage.
Well, this is an exciting week, the first week, and, you know, it's a honeymoon period.
For Joe Biden,
the whole administration, they control, like in Colorado, the executive, the Senate, and the House. So Joe has been...
Busy.
He's announced he's supporting the impeachment of a private citizen, Donald Trump, which is apparently backfiring a lot. He's done a good job at ending women's sports by saying anybody who identifies a woman, you don't have to have
as a
messy
up. Oh, yeah, identifies as a
woman, can compete in women's sports. You don't have to go through any messy operations or any of that. You just have to identify. So that ought to be great, especially for scholarships and everything else, you know.
Right.
So there'll just be men's scholarships and men who identify with women's scholarships. Cancel the Keystone Pipeline. That's great. You know?
Right.
So that'll drive gas prices up. That'll end all the construction jobs. Help Russia. You got to help Russia.
Well, and John Kerry said those guys can get jobs making wind turbines.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Inner Hillary Clinton, right? We're going to close down the mines.
Now, we got a moratorium on oil and gas permits on federal lands.
He's not banning fracking, though, guys.
No,
I mean,
no,
it seems like he is.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
seems like he is because he isn't allowing any fracking or oil
or
permits.
Or any at all. It doesn't matter what it is.
Right, so, yeah.
So that'll help our economy and help gas prices go skyrocketing. We're also joining the Paris Climate Accord, which we'll spend billions giving to countries overseas. You know, I was going to say third world, but it's not just limited to that. China would be eligible under the Paris.
Well, China identifies as a third world country.
That's all that's necessary. So that's just exciting. Halt the construction of the border wall. No, we don't want any stupid border wall.
More jobs gone,
and lots of illegals coming in. Halt all deportations of.
Although the judge said he couldn't do that.
Well, the federal judge said that's only one federal judge.
Yeah, there's
lots more.
Out there.
But up to him, 100 deportations, they're all deportation stuff. Supports keeping schools closed, backing those teachers, saying, oh no. Ron Klein, his chief of staff, said they haven't made the investment to make it safe.
Well, and what's the investment? The investment to make it safe would be raises for teachers. I'm just guessing.
That'll do.
Or something. It won't have anything to do with children.
Terminating the 1776 commission because truth matters, and we're endemically
racist
country, and truth matters, so we can get. That's just the beginning. I mean, is it 30?
Well,
you got some more?
Yeah, no, I got some more. What he did today is, because I want to play a little bit of soundbite, and then we'll get to Don here. So today is Climate Day. So we set up a national climate task force, okay? And it's going to involve, because it's part of our national security, John Kerry informing us that the CIA, Homeland Security, NSA, all 17 intelligence agencies are going to be part of the climate. That means that if you say, you know, wait a minute, I don't want to drive an electric car, you are now going to be a threat to Homeland Security. You're an insurrectionist. Meanwhile, a couple other ideas that they said, no, we would never do that. A Senator Tom, I forget his name, is introducing a bill to make Washington, D.C. a state. And in the meantime, this is also good. Biden has created a commission to look into essentially expanding the Supreme Court.
Yay.
Headed by somebody who is in favor of expanding the Supreme Court.
Yes, of course.
And they want to report in 180 days. But don't you worry, because none of this is going to impact you or going to raise your taxes. Wait, actually, Biden's new, the Commerce Secretary nominee was asked about this, and she said, actually about that middle class tax raise,
You guys can take
Thomas, if we could play that soundbite, please, the tax raising taxes soundbite.
The nominee for Transportation Secretary, Mayor Buttigieg, last week said he was receptive to increasing the gas tax. And again, this would be something that would impact the poorest families in our country significantly. What is your position on that? And do you think how would that impact your ability to do your job as Secretary of Commerce?
Yes. So I would defer to Congress to make that decision. Let me say this. I, as governor, am deeply in touch with how much increasing bills affect the average American family. Having said that, we do need to meet the climate change challenge, and we need funds for improved infrastructure, better roads, safer bridges, and which also creates jobs. So I would look to balance those interests and work as a piece of the president's team.
There you go. They're going to raise your taxes, guys. They're going to raise your taxes. And Colorado, one of the taxes, I mean, this has been floated out every so often, and everyone has always before, that's just a terrible idea. We can't do that. What they want to do, and that's what Buttigieg is talking about, is not having a gas tax on the number of gallons that you buy, but on the number of miles that you drive. Now, the electric car people are not happy with that, so we'll have to see how that goes out. But it's just... Again, it's hard to imagine how worse.
Would anybody have voted for this this amazing platform? But let's call from Don from Colorado Springs. Don, how you doing?
You know, and the thing of it is, the whole electric cars thing is going to fall flat on their face because you still need coal to get your electricity and all that. It's going to fold on them.
Well, you know, Don, they don't seem to care. I was reading Denver today has their
they
climate
don't care,
task force.
But that's what's going to happen. They don't care, but it's going to happen.
What do they say in Denver? They don't want to have by 2024. So that's not very far away. They don't want to allow any building with natural gas hookups. All of the home energy in Denver from now on, from starting in a couple of years, is going to have to come from wind or solar.
Or rats running.
Or hamsters or something like that.
It's a great program, and did Stalin care that he starved 20 million Ukrainians with his power? I didn't care. Do they care that the
California?
Collapse?
They can't. Don't
they
even
think
have
they
power?
Care? They don't care about any of it. But
because if I so,
but it's going to come. It's going to hit them in the fanny eventually.
They plan to rig every election from now on. They're not going to hit them in the fanny.
Yeah, I hope no, Don. I kind of agree with you though. I think sooner or later people are going to get going to get.
What does it matter?
If
it's not who votes, who counts the votes, and they count the votes.
We need to.
Well, that is true. I mean. Joseph Stalin did indeed say that, and he did starve. We know that. That's history. But, I mean, why do a talk show if you've already given up?
We haven't given up. We support Trump.
I disagree with you.
We support Trump. We support the Republican Party, not because they're wonderful. People like Dave Williams are great. But who do you like out there?
I don't agree with Chuck on that. I haven't given up. I think there was plenty of hope.
I didn't say giving up, Julie. So
okay,
don't
I agree with Don.
Well, what's Don saying? Who do you support? Who out there do you like?
Well, right now I'm not really looking at it. It's too early for me to be honest with you.
But just like. I didn't say support as a president, but one politician
I don't know.
You like.
Yeah.
No?
If there's anybody I'd like right now, it'd be Ron DeSantis out of Florida.
Oh, that's a good choice. I agree.
That's a good choice.
You,
if you'd said Liz Cheney, we would have had to go on you. Hey, John, thank you.
Before I let you go, I do want to talk about the whole female sports and all that.
Oh, sure.
Remember the end game in that is basically the abolishment of gender. That's been a long-term game in Marxism.
That's an old-fashioned concept. It's a choice.
Once again, Don, this is why I think they're going to fail because, like you said, number one, their economic models don't hold up. People actually need jobs to live and work. And even if they want to pay us all and get rid of student debt, they have to have the money coming from somewhere. And the same thing like with gender. People know, okay, that whether they're a boy or a girl. Now, they may have sexual identities that are different, but people know what they are. And to try to shove it down people's throats that, like, no, there is no gender. Men and women are exactly the same, except for women can complain about men more. I agree with you. Their whole model is so shaky.
Well, Mao's model for the Great Leap Forward, what was that like? How'd that work out? How'd the Cultural Revolution work out? How'd all those policies work out?
Insurrection. Hey, the game's
at least in China, you still got Xi Jinping.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And Fang Fangs.
Fang Fang. There we go. Hey,
they got Fang Fang. So
thank you for
I'll let you go and move on.
Thank
you. This is from Mark. Why did Polis release all COVID-19 vaccines yesterday? To be like Biden, who wants to release it all. Now people who got the first shot may not get their second. Why is Kaiser giving shots to people who are not members of Kaiser when they have members over 70 who are not getting the flu shots? Corruption. The whole thing is corrupt, right? I mean, we've had Michael Tile on. There are a lot of issues about the vaccine, a lot of questions. The one thing that is not in question is that there are a lot of people making a lot of money out of it. And now by
we're not going to tax them.
No, they're not going to. No. And nor can you sue them if it all goes south.
Yeah, no.
You got to wonder, why would they put that in there? Yeah. You know, 888. Wait, let me get my phone number.
Get the phone number, Julie. You got to memorize this, baby.
888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. If you want to call in. You know, the Biden, I think there are a lot of people who are unhappy. Of course, no one cares. Like, as you point out, Biden people, I don't even think Biden actually knows.
No,
but the Green New Deal stuff that they were talking about today is as radical and as extreme as, you know, as AOC and all those people were pushing earlier. They want to have everybody driving electric cars, everybody using, kind of like Jared Polis, you know, all renewable energy. And I keep saying, I mean, maybe I'm missing something here, but what are planes going to fly with? Right. If we can't
we
have
don't
any
need planes, anymore,
I mean, but I mean,
we
for
just
for
have
real,
a, you know, corporate
in
jet
two
fleet.
Years. In 2 years, or, I mean, they're killing
you know,
air
travel,
travel
anyway. There's no traveling. You're spreading COVID when you do that. Now, if you have your own private jet, that's
right. If you can go to the global
Davos
people are meeting today, and they're
great.
Saying we all of us little people are misunderstanding their whole global reset.
Yeah.
It's all good. Don't worry, guys.
It's all for you. It's all for you.
Briefly then, too, because we can go back to that, but I want to also just mention the GameStop thing. We don't have enough time to go into it, at least maybe not before our guests, and maybe we'll afterwards. But I encourage you to kind of check it out. Breitbart actually has some, it's confusing, at least it was to me. And Chuck, you helped me understand it. But bottom line, what it is a bunch of like misfits on Reddit, which is, I'm not on Reddit, but it's like a blog kind of comment forum kind of place, are now basically manipulating Wall Street. So what do? All the billionaire hedge fund people who, what, never manipulated a thing in their little lives? And, you know, they've cut down trading on GameStop.
Because they don't have that going on.
No. I mean,
little people getting in together and moving the market? No. And getting together on social media platforms?
Right.
No.
So I predict it's not going to be just conservatives who are going to be being banned right and left. I mean, every day I look, we're down like another 25 Twitter followers, which, let me remind people, we're on Gab, gab.com, Chuck and Julie. And Gab is getting a little bit easier to work, by the way. Yeah, exactly. But I think they're going to start, I don't know, the censorship, I laugh, and it's really not funny. The censorship is going to be unending. If you type in GameStop, they're going to shut you down.
Really?
If you type in Wall Street, they're going to shut you down. These elites, they, I guess they think that they have the Democrat Party so sewed up and so under control that, well, I know, but we have to keep hoping that no one's going to notice or no one's going to be able to do anything about it.
No,
but it gives me hope that this group of people on GameStop said, on Reddit said, hey, I know that's affect this whole hedge fund.
Well, the only people
thing.
Who sell short because you have to have margin accounts and are really big boys because you could absorb enormous losses. So Main Street doesn't do short selling,
right?
But the big boys do, and they don't like the little guys getting on there and messing with them.
Right.
That's as dangerous as they said. The SEC is going to look into it. Thank God.
Thank God. The SEC.
Thank God is going to look into it.
Well,
wow.
Because, I mean, we certainly would not want those hedge fund billionaires and all the billionaire
losing any
people,
money.
Losing
no,
any money. I mean,
no,
that would just
no.
be terrible.
No,
I mean, that's what the Democrats have promised that they would do, you know, to watch out for those guys. And meanwhile, everybody in Davos is probably freaking out about it, too. So so there is hope for insurrection.
How do all those Davos people get there?
They flew on the private planes. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they would fly on if we don't have natural gas
They're
or fuel anymore
be
or oil.
They'll be exempt. Don't worry about it.
But, you know, but again, looking at the oil stuff, so they're going to increase oil prices, make oil prices go up. And I got to wonder, why were the Democrats, who are they in bed with that they want to make oil prices go up so much? Because I guarantee you, has nothing to do with science and has nothing to do with climate change. Just like masks and the shutdowns had nothing to do with the virus and everything to do with destroying Trump. Just like the D.C. riots had nothing to do with Trump inciting them and everything to do
or with Kavanaugh gang raping women at parties.
Right.
They don't care.
No.
They just don't care. And you know, as long as they can keep on frauding the votes, you know, and we're not allowed to say that anymore, right? You know,
no.
Stop the steal. That'll get you banned.
Right.
Questioning
YouTube,
our new democracy.
YouTube pulled Sebastian Gorka's show, so you can't be there. I mean, we've talked to you before that they pulled our shows too. No, and Sandra is saying it doesn't matter to the Democrats, and she's absolutely right. I think, but it will. Again, at a certain point. Oh, this is my belief and my hope. At a certain point, the things they're doing now are affecting everybody. Gas prices are going to go up. That affects everybody. Jobs are being lost. That has trickle-down effects and affect a lot of people.
Did it affect a lot of people that millions were dying of starvation in the Soviet Union?
Chuck, I'm not going to let you talk anymore. No, I mean, you're right. I mean, bad things happen, and it doesn't get turned around overright. But
it doesn't get turned around because they don't have a real democracy in the Soviet Union.
I was going to say,
when he was elected, you know, when Stalin was reelected every 4 years, whoever it was, with the Politburo, you know, they control the votes, and so it didn't matter. Unless we fix the voting, and they're fraudulently doing it, nothing else will matter.
Or as I say, maybe we just need to start printing our own right now too.
And,
we need to, and again, I think we do need to maybe re-examine our language and not call it cheating, but just that those are the rules.
Enhancing, enhanced votes.
Right. Yeah. Voting enhancements. but it is scary though. I mean, you look at this censorship that's going on, and on one hand, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's funny, but all you could do is be like, seriously, Twitter? I mean, you just see people right and left and people are leaving, and I don't know what's going to happen with Parler. But I suspect there are, you know, I'm not a tech person, but there are plenty of platforms.
We'll find out in a minute.
Other ways out there. Yeah, we'll be talking to Patrick Wood here about that. There are plenty of things out there. And I have a feeling, one thing that I find very hopeful is announcements from Trump, the office of the former president of the United States. And he's setting up commissions there, number one, to look into election integrity,
a think tank,
and number two, to look into some of the tech issues. And so I have a feeling that behind the scenes, at least I hope, stuff is happening. And in the meantime, people like us, we just kind of keep on fighting there. Okay, we got Patrick Wood now. We got the email suggesting him for a guest, and I thought, holy cow, he sounds absolutely terrific. Patrick Wood is a founder of the Citizens for Free Speech. What a pertinent topic, right? He's also the editor of Technocracy News and Trends, a worldwide journal dedicated to critical analysis of technocracy and globalization. He's authored four books, including Technocracy Rising, The Trojan Horse of Global Transformation, and A Technocracy, if I'm pronouncing it right, The Hard Road to World Order. So, hey, Patrick, thank you for
your time.
Welcome, Patrick. Yeah, glad to have you.
My pleasure. Nice to be with you.
Well, explain to us exactly how did Google and all the rest of them have a virtual monopoly, Twitter, and what can Trump or anybody else do to break up that virtual monopoly?
Well, it's going to be very difficult to break it up just by political means.
Yeah.
There may be some antitrust actions brought against them, either by attorneys general or by the Justice Department. That's kind of iffy at this point in the current administration. So it's going to be hard to tell if they just get a free ride and they move on down the road and do more of the same for the next 4 years, or if somebody will step up to take a swat at them. I think, however, that people, their constituents are leaving in droves, and that's going to punish them. There's no doubt. It's going to hurt them.
Right. What I worry about is that the guys who control it, you know, it's literally a handful of billionaires. I mean, and big tech, not like 1 billion, you know, but multi-billionaires. And I worry that they don't care about that, right? I mean, we've seen what Fox did, you know, they don't, and CNN, they don't care what they do to their ratings. They have a political thing. And I think you're right. And the current political climate, no one's going to.
Well, how hard would it be for Gab or someone else to create a new Twitter?
Well, Gab is already trying to do that. So is Parler before Parler got killed.
Right.
There's other platforms out there that are popping up. They're relatively still small, but there is competition coming. And, like MeWe's is still cooking, and Gab and. I don't know. There's been a couple of others that readers have sent links to and stuff. I looked at them a little bit, but one or another is probably going to catch on in time. The thing is, the whole concept of censorship at this point needs really to be understood in terms of globalization. These giant companies with these billionaires that run them have moved into the global elite class, if you will. They are class A1 globalists now. Their globalization is their game.
Right.
And so anything that comes up, any narrative that comes up against globalization, they're going to kill it, period.
Like Trump, and like Make America Great Again kind of thing.
Well, they're doing it en masse. And it's not just the Twitter, it's not just Google, it's not just Facebook. You've got Amazon stepped in to kill Parler when they just summarily terminated their contract to host their data and their processing on AWS. Poor old Parler went around and tried to get rehosted on other platforms. And, you know, those other people started to refuse service. They said, we don't want you. If Amazon kicked you out, we don't want you either.
Right.
So, you know, this goes way deeper than most people really realize. MasterCard, Visa, Stripe, MailChimp, the big mailing service, WordPress.com. All of these types of organizations are censoring, either kicking people off, denying service, or just, you know, generally making their life miserable. And, you know, this is kind of a tech-wide industry sort of a phenomenon right now.
Right. Well, can you explain, because I think, you know, when I was doing some research into Amazon and the Amazon Web Services, and again, I always remind people, you got to think when you're looking at these, you are not the client, you are the product. Every time you type something, swipe something, you know, search something, they're gathering information on you that then they are bundling and selling in various ways to all kinds of customers, you know, for machine learning, artificial intelligence, things like that. Can you explain kind of what you believe, as you said, sort of their global end game is? And because to me, it seems like this is even more than Joe Biden. This is a huge threat facing us.
It is. If you were to go to the World Economic Forum and listen to some of the videos by its founder, Klaus Schwab, and by the way, all those people are meeting this week in Davos. If you go and listen to some of their speeches and some of their writing, read some of the writings, you'll find that what they're trying to do is create a new economic system that is not the current economic system. Currently, we're based on free market economics. Private property is really the underpinning of the whole thing, because that allows us to own things and build things and build companies and stuff like that. The World Economic Forum is trying to move us into an economic system globally now that is predicated, is based on sustainable development that the United Nations came up with many years ago. This is a resource-based economic system where a few own all the resources, and all the rest of everybody is not allowed to own resources. They're only allowed to rent resources when they need them. So this is a brand new deal. We've never seen anything quite like this in the history of the world. It's very dangerous. It's basically running the world by scientific dictatorship and controlling the economic system, micromanaging the economic system to tell businesses what they're allowed to make and to tell consumers what they're allowed to consume.
How do they envision this working? Obviously, one way they want to do it is to control, your organization, Citizens for Free Speech. They want to get rid of that, I'm sure, absolutely, because you can't have anybody saying, hey, wait a minute, we don't like this, or what about this, or here's my idea. But, I mean, how do you see this being implemented?
Well, how do they make it palatable? What's their sales pitch to?
Or do they even need one anymore?
Who knows? Sales pitch to all of us about the Brave New World.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Brave New World is right. That's a book everybody read, by the way. The promise you see in a video that the World Economic Forum put out, a young lady giving a little presentation of herself, she's smiling and she says, I own nothing and I'm very happy about it.
She's
telling how she, she rents her clothes, she rents her place, she gets an Uber when she needs somewhere. And if she needs to cook a recipe, she can get the pots and pans delivered, needed for it, and then she gets rid of them the next day. And life is just a bowl of cherries for her, she said. And here's the question that is never asked or answered in the video, but any idiot would ask it. Anybody should ask the question. Okay, so if you're happy renting everything, please tell me who owns those things that you're renting.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And where do you get, if you don't own anything, I mean, how do, is the government, are we supposed to become reliant on the government then under the thing where the government just gives us the money and where does the government?
Well, you don't need money. Maybe they just.
Yeah, if you don't own anything.
From each according to their abilities to each according to their needs. They just said, well, you know, you need this.
And actually, the way the original technocracy system was set up back in the 1930s was predicated on universal basic income. This is something we've heard over and over and over again in modern times. There's over 100 cities around the world still testing universal basic income. It's
Finland did it for a while.
Yep. But what what technocracy originally said they were going to do, they were going to issue energy credits. In other words, they'd make an estimate of how much energy was going to be produced in a given period, like a month or a quarter, divide by the population, and then just issue scrip to people that they could pay for goods and services based on how much energy went into making those goods and services. Hmm. So they envisioned this idea where everybody would work, and they would just get all of society would just get an equal share of the energy that was available for that period of time.
Right.
This is universal basic income in any case. You work not related to the amount of sustenance you get to survive. And, of course, basically means you end up being the vassal or the slave.
Right.
Sure, serf.
Of the master.
Right, because I imagine the billionaire technocrat, the big tech guys, they're the ones who are going to be making all these decisions. They aren't going to have to worry about their, little script for a certain amount of energy, right? I imagine that it doesn't work that way for them.
Some animals are always more equal.
That's exactly right. And they have theirs. I mean, when you look at Jeff Bezos, who formerly was the richest man in the world, and you realize he's been surpassed now by Elon Musk.
Yeah, Elon.
Okay. Elon Musk's grandfather was the head of Technocracy Incorporated in Canada during the 30s and 40s.
Hmm.
Just a little tidbit that everybody needs to think about.
Yeah. Right, right.
And for those that don't understand historic technocracy, it is of great importance today to understand it, because it is literally rule by algorithm, rule by the scientific method, so to speak. It basically worships science, rejects all other forms of truth, and says that you need to obey science. You need to listen to science and then go do what it tells you to do.
Oh, that's why they have with this whole climate change. I mean, that's their mantra, right? The Democrats follow the science, follow the science.
Well, what would you say? What would you suggest would be good reading for our listeners?
To catch up on this.
Catch up on historic technocracy.
Your books.
Well, yeah, I know. Basically, I hate to say this, but my books on technocracy are really the only modern books that are available right now. There are some books that were written in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, but. I brought it up to date a few years ago, so I've got two books out. One is Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation, and the other one is Technocracy, the Hard Road to World Order. They're both excellent books, all predicated based on original research that I did on technocracy. I traveled all over the North American continent gathering data for that. And it's easy to, otherwise it's easy to figure out. My first book had a huge bibliography in the back of it with all the resources that I used, so people could go and extend the research.
Right.
How does China fit into, these globalists and the big tech companies? Right now they're kowtowing to China. That's a massive market.
Government isn't like the present administration. They tend to bite back.
Right. How does that figure in? Or is it more of a sort of a piecemeal approach for okay, look, we'll take out the U.S. first. We'll take out these places, Europe, and then we'll worry about China.
No, China is a mystery to a lot of people right now, because they still have the communist flag. They still have the trappings of communism. But they have been converted many years ago into a full-blown technocracy. They really are the poster child for technocracy on the global stage right now. And they're exporting their system all over the world, to South America, to Africa, to Europe, and even back into the United States. So China, in one sense, is very dangerous from a technocracy point of view, because they are masters. They have almost perfected the social engineering nonsense by science, where many parts of the country completely run by algorithm, by artificial intelligence. Just think of the social credit scoring system, for instance, that makes you as being a good little citizen or a bad little citizen, and you get rewards or denial of rewards accordingly. They really mastered this.
Right. Well, and that's why, am I right, when I go back to the whole concept of machine learning and artificial intelligence, that's what places like Amazon and Twitter and Facebook, that's what they're gathering from us data for, right? And it is in its own way, it seems to me, very matrixy-like. What they'll do is, I think they want to kind of soothe you, and they want to feed you stuff that, like, you like to see, and they make it very... You know, it's like you're Googling something and Google steers the search to something you want, and you don't even realize that you're being manipulated. But I mean, they need our data, basically, or our choices, so they can help figure out how to program us. I mean, isn't that how it all works together? And that's why they've taken control over everything. And that's why they're paying millions and millions and millions into elections to get people like Biden elected.
Well, technocrats are addicted to data in the same way that an addict is addicted to heroin. They can't get enough, and that's their lifeblood, is data. Everything runs on data. And so how much data do they need? Well, always just a little bit more. So, right. you can start with the macro, and now you're getting down to the micro, where they're talking about things like, DNA and stuff. And introducing new types of DNA into your body through new mRNA vaccines, for instance.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you want to get a couple of those in your system.
And
real quick.
We promise not to sue anybody when that happens. Well, how do we fight this then?
Yeah.
I mean, I know Citizens for Free Speech, but I mean, how do we fight this?
Honestly, we're promoting local activism. We believe people need to get into their local communities and start cleaning it up from the ground up. This is how they got to us, by going to our local communities, and this is the only way we're going to get rid of it. Washington is not going to deliver us, and I don't care who's in power, whether it was Trump or whether it's Biden, these technocrats just marched on with their agenda.
Yes, they did.
Local communities have incredible power to set up a firewall against the things that technocracy needs to function, things like facial recognition, artificial intelligence, pre-crime software, smart city policies, where sensors are buried in every conceivable place to keep track of the people inside that city.
Right.
A city council can stand up and knock this stuff back into the last century if they wanted to. But only citizens can get in and make that difference. And, and be able to talk and interact with the leaders of a city to say, guys, you need to wake up to this. What's going on? And stop this stuff. Protect us, for Pete's sake.
Right. What about, could cities...
Now we're talking with Patrick Wood, and he's the author of...
I don't have my glasses on. He's got books on technocracy. Technocracy Rising, The Trojan Horse of Global Transformation, and Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order. You're talking about things like, we're finding out now that, for instance, the government has deals with cell phone companies, where they're allowing cell phone companies, and they're buying and selling data. They're tracking us. You're talking about that kind of stuff, right? Where maybe you can start getting with local governments. I don't know how they do that, but where they can block that kind of stuff. Or, in the city of Aurora here in Colorado, and imagine other cities have it too, they have cameras, police cars have cameras that just automatically record all the license plates of everybody that they go by and where they are. And they say, oh, well, we could do this if there's a crime. Yeah. But they're actually keeping that and storing it, right? And they're doing stuff with that information.
Well, your phone also tells you where you are and everything else. Won't the technocrats then take that power away from local governments as quickly as they can?
They're trying very hard to get rid of city governments across the country, to nullify them through a process that's called regionalization. I don't think we ought to go there, but this is a big thing. And city councils, however, have incredible power still reserved to them. They're able to pull away from any regionalization scheme as well if they choose to. Here's a big city, New Orleans, for instance. New Orleans is no shrinking city. It's a pretty, everybody knows where that is. And it's, a big party city, et cetera, et cetera. But lo and behold, the city council in New Orleans passed a binding ordinance that placed an outright ban on surveillance technology such as facial recognition software or predictive policing. They threw it out. Boom. Ah. Gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's the end of it. Now, you don't hear about that in the media anywhere because they're not going to report on that, right?
Wow.
But this has happened across, you know, and many cities across the country have stood up to stuff like this and said, hey, this is crazy. We're not doing this anymore.
And well, isn't there in Australia, isn't there a town or some towns in Australia fighting Google right now where they said, hey, look, if you're going to include our local news organization's stories in your search, you have to pay them for that information. And then Google said, oh, they're doing an experiment where they're not carrying any local news stories anymore.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
But that's the kind of thing you're talking about, right? The city council said, hey, wait, if you're going to use this, you got to pay for it.
Exactly. Well, there's all kinds of ways. You can get very creative with this kind of stuff, but there's all kinds of things that can be done if the city council and if the, you know, the mayor and the city manager and other, you know, people that are civic leaders, if they understand what these companies are trying to do to us, they can throw the monkey wrench in. And as many people as do not participate with these kinds of schemes, then the technocrat machine can't control all of society. If there's too many outliers, if there's too many people that don't cooperate with us, they're basically left with a bag of dirt. And that's fine with me. So we don't need 100% of cities, you know, doing this across the country. But even if 10, 15, 20% of citizens really got into their city and threw this stuff out, I'll tell you what, it would set the technocrat movement back 500 years where it belongs.
Wow.
Just a couple more questions, because one thing that really worries me is how fast this seems to be going. I mean, if you had told me last January that, you know, that Parler was gone, that Trump, the president of the United States, was banned from social media, that they were going through it. I mean, they were, you know, sort of deleting and censoring and saying, you can't say this, you can't say that, and you've got corporate media people going along, I would have said, no, no, this is America. That could never happen. But but this is happening faster than we think, isn't it?
Well, you know, here's the deal. You could picture a building, like, say, a big building going up. You're driving along, you look off to the left, you go, whoa, where'd that building come from? And you just didn't see it, you know, last week or whatever. These types of things take years in planning to get ready to lay the first brick. You never see the building going up until finally they get through all the permits, the engineering, the architecture, and et cetera, et cetera. And so in a big project like what is before us now, the planning for this has been going on for decades. I'm saying take it back at least back to the early 1970s. So what we see today is the result of all that block moving, you know, preparations, you know, taking over this and that and whatever. This has been brewing for a long time. We just happen to be seeing the superstructure going up all of a sudden, and everybody's surprised and shocked.
Yeah, so we're all seeing the Matrix come alive.
Come alive.
Wow,
Patrick,
that's amazing.
Where can people find out more? I mean, what you've got plenty
this
of...
This has gone fast.
Yeah,
this
you're
great.
Yeah,
you're
people
wonderful.
Need to know about this. Where's it? What's a good website where people want to contact you or get more information?
Or get your books or everything else.
Well, you can get my books, of course, but I'll tell you, right now, the most important thing America needs is Citizens for Free Speech. If we don't keep the First Amendment on the table, we're all done. I know you guys realize that because you're broadcasters, and they're coming for you. You have a target on your back.
I promise you, we know.
Right. So we need to preserve free speech and the First Amendment in our country. If we don't, we are done as a nation. There will be no discussion after free speech is gone.
Right.
So we have to maintain it. We have to fight for it, and we have to take action right now. So I encourage people to go to citizensforfreespeech.org and join up with us to make a difference across the country. It doesn't cost a nickel to join because free speech should be free, and we are free. But, of course, you can donate money, but that's your choice, not ours. And get involved. Become a volunteer. You know, dedicate yourself to doing something in your local community to make a difference.
All right.
Well, Patrick, you've been great. This was wonderful, and I think Julie and I are when we finish the show, we'll be signing up for the free one. And it's been great talking to you. Hope to have you back again.
Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure. Glad to be with you guys.
All right, Patrick Wood, there are Citizens. The website is citizensforfreespeech.org. Hey, that is going to wrap it up for our segment. It was quick.
Our segment.
I want to remind people, please, support places like America's Citizen Press. You can like and follow us and subscribe to us on YouTube at Chuck and Julie. And as always, you can get everything at chuckandjulie.com. Want to thank Dave Williams. Want to thank Patrick Wood for coming on. Everybody on Zoom, we love seeing you on Zoom, and everybody listening to, we have a growing audience, and we appreciate it so much.
And guess what's next?
Party Friday.
All right, we'll see everybody on Friday. Look forward to talking to you again.